have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
All right, let it out.
This fucking team. Fuck. Man.
I had to let that one loose. I apologize.
Oh, man.
Hello, everybody. Unkillable.
God. You know, I'm trying to decide what I know the answer, but I'm just going to start the podcast. Welcome back, by the way.
What's tougher? You know, like we've had this conversation before pertaining to different teams, different situations. Like what's worse? What cuts deeper as a sports fan? If you are never in it and you really don't get emotionally invested throughout the game or a season because your team falls behind 27-0 or starts out 0-6 and you are not incredibly emotionally engaged because you just never really had anything to react to. Like that's dispiriting. And that's that. If there's too much of that, that will eventually lead to apathy, as we know. Or what we were given today, where I mean, shit, I thought the Jets were going to win that thing up until the final drive. I really did. I really did. That was a hard hit on Garrett Wilson. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm saying, catch the ball like everybody else. But then you actually see the hit by Ramsey, the timing. I mean, that is, I can't get on the young man. He was phenomenal today. Oh, man, what a shitty way to start the season, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I really don't think doing this right now. Like, I'm going to go through the stuff of the game that I want to get into. But, geez, man, there were so many good things here, including the way the Jets started in the first half. Obviously, they're up 19-16 here. You know, and I'm just – now, they started to get a little sloppy in terms of penalties as the game went on, as we saw. But I'm looking at this first half. I'm saying, all right, two touchdowns, two field goals, no punts. They get two sacks. Q had one. McDonald had one. Then McDonald had another one. None allowed, you know, and only two penalties. And the second penalty on Simpson, and they even said this on the broadcast, I thought Ian and more so Watt, because he's the former player, I thought he did a good job because they obviously talked about the Jets and Glenn's desire to trim the penalties and become more disciplined and more buttoned up. But when your quarterback gets popped like that, and, you know, I mean, should they have thrown a flag there on Ramsey? Probably. I thought it was a tick late. Either way, I have no problem with Simpson coming over and taking matters into his own hand. I know, and it's almost like a contradiction because it goes against everything that we talked about all summer. Like, all right, hey, how are the Jets going to get going? What are the Jets going to do? What are they going to need to do to plant some seeds here and change the culture? And really, the first step was you've got to really decrease the amount of penalties. And they did. And certainly in the first half. And that one, I'm going to give a pass to. That's the kind of tone setter where you get my guy, I'm going to come back, I'm going to get you harder. So I can't crush Simpson for that. You know, obviously, there were just so many things here. I thought the Jets showed really good poise in the first half. I thought they showed they were very well conditioned. I thought that they showed that they were obviously very aggressive, ready to play football out of the chute here. Hey, here's the bottom line. This is what, result aside, and of course, it's fucking Rodgers. God, Rodgers. Results aside, the two things that jumped out to me, all right, because you knew they were going to try to run the heck out of it. They did. But I thought that you saw the immediate dividends of a very aggressive training camp where the Jets were hitting and the Jets were well conditioned and the Jets were ready to mix it up and the Jets were ready to begin playing with purpose. Unlike last year where they just checked out of tackles and obviously weren't very good, you saw a team that was ready to play football. And I've got to commend Aaron Glenn on that. I know the Jets are 0-1 and you either win or you lose, but you know, to me, this is not on Aaron Glenn at all. And even if it was, I mean, this man's going to get a grace period, certainly from me. They had the stat up today. Mike Tomlin has coached, I think, 312 games, and this was Aaron's first. So, you know, I thought the play calling was very good. I did. I thought they did a good job balancing the pass with the run. They ran it over 40 times here. That's no surprise. And the other thing, too, is obviously when things started getting a little wobbly here and the Steelers scored the 14 points in the 50 seconds, like the Jets had every reason to lay down or not recover. And they showed immediate fight. You know, they really did. So, oh, the quarterback sneaked the touchdown. Like, that was right after it, where the Jets then got their ball at their own, they got the ball at their own 33. Hull had 12. Hull looked good. And that left side, I know that Olu Fashanu got burned on a sack late in the game, but that left side, he and Simpson were carving out holes left and right. Can you imagine what the right side would be with Vera Tucker? It would be the same thing. But, of course, he gets hurt, and it is what it is. I mean, it's football. Guys go down. But after they scored the two touchdowns in less than a minute, Jets at their own 33, Hull for 12, Hull for 4, Josh Reynolds, 12-yard reception. It's funny because I was saying to my son watching the game, if you remember where Reynolds caught that ball, it was in the middle of the football field, and I get it. He turned to make a football move. His spatial awareness, you know, things are moving quickly, understood. But he almost went laterally where if he would have gone forward, there was actually 2, 3, 4 yards to get where he would have gotten the first down. It didn't matter, though. Because after that, Breece had the run. Then you had Mason Taylor's first reception. He's going to be good. Tight end, young tight end, 15 yards. Fields with a 5-yard run. There was just – it was really good mixing and matching. And then on 2nd and 5, you got 4 from Hull. And then Fields ran for a first down. And how about that? The penalty, the 15-yard penalty. Talk about a change of emotion. I'm like, oh, what a killer. It's on the Jets. Oh, no, it's on the Steelers. Not that it's Birdman's fault, but – wow. And then you have the quarterback sneak. Jets take the lead, 32-31. They go for the two. I did not like, I'll tell you this, when they go for the two, clearly you have to do that. I did not like the play call on 3rd and 2, where they threw just a little, you know, back of the end zone, fade, flip it up, whatever you want to call it. There's different terminology. That is, for me, way too tough a degree of difficulty, throw and catch, where there's a lot of bodies and you're really limiting the space that you can operate in. It's in the back of the end zone. So yeah, that was for Garrett Wilson. So you have Garrett Wilson, and then you've got at least, there was at least 2 Steelers, and there's nothing yet. There's just too many bodies there. So I did not like the actual play call. It got knocked away, but of course you're going to have to go for it there. You know, and listen, today's, oh, you know, all right, this thing's annoying. Let me put this on mute. Pardon me. Listen, that's the thing. When these games end, you're just getting raw BT. There's no filter. I mean, this is what it's going to be. My fucking phone is ringing. I'm pissed off. I thought I shut it off. I guess I didn't. Now, if I hit that, it might even mute me. Whatever. Just deal with it. Phone's ringing. Jet fans, buddies, this, that. Oh, man. Oh, man. You know, but this is what you sign up for as a football fan, right? You sign up for this as a football fan. You never know. All right. I'm going to... It's the same person who's texting me. So stop texting me. Stop texting me. And you just don't know when you invest what we invest to this team and to this sport and to all the teams we root for. You know, it goes back to what I said to start the pod. Would it be easier getting on the air today with 23-3 loss and no real emotion? And my answer is absolutely no, because then I'd be like, wow. Team wasn't even ready to play. And what does that say about, you know, day one, year one of the Aaron and Glenn regime? So listen, of course, it sucks that it's Rodgers and it's and the 40,000 Steeler fans. It would have been so nice to see them just slink out of our stadium, as shitty a stadium as it is. It's still our stadium, and go home and drive back to Pittsburgh, wherever else they're going. A loser. Instead, you got Rodgers pumping up, you know, waving, come on, towels, let's go. It was a tough visual, but I judged the Jets today on a couple of things, all right? Some things I've already said, some things I'm going to go through for the first time. Number one, were they prepared? They were prepared. It was obvious the Jets had a very clear, discernible game plan. And by the way, it wasn't just anybody knew they were going to run it a lot, but I thought that they were very selective and very smart with how they called pass plays and when they called them. Like, it wasn't incredibly I'm not saying it was the most innovative game plan in the passing regard, but it wasn't all right, you have to pass. There you go. That's where the Jets are going to pass. There were a few times where I'm like, I was even saying out loud because they were running so effectively, run, run, run. And there were a couple times and they threw it. It worked out. I'm like, okay, all right. You guys know what you got better than me because you've been there every day. So were the Jets prepared on both sides of the ball? I think that they were. You know, with when you play your first game against a well-coached, you know, pretty good Steelers team, not saying they're amazing, but they're pretty good, certainly on defense. And you don't punt the ball in the first half and you are averaging 5 yards a pop and you are moving them backwards and you're winning the line of scrimmage. You're doing your job. You really are. You're doing your job. Metcalf got loose a couple of times. There were a few times where not just the Jets, but I'll tell you, this turf is for the birds, man. I know it rained a little bit, but they've got, what is that, like an inch and a half cleats, those rubberized little whatever, those beyond the nubs where they really should dig in more. I mean, every time you look up, somebody's slipping. And a couple of times it absolutely, it hurt Justin Fields once when he was trying to get out of the pocket. It hurt, who was that? Was that Stevenson? It hurt one of the Jets corners, not Carter, obviously not Sauce. Either way, I can't stand that freaking field and I can't stand the turf. All right, what else jumped out to me? I am largely optimistic about this. I am. I really am. So they were prepared. I thought they played hard. They had each other's back. That goes to the Simpson penalty, which generally I would not excuse because it goes against everything that the Jets need to cleanse themselves of. Sloppy, selfish play. But I'm sorry. When you got a big boy running in to, you know, protect his quarterback who's on his ass, I'm never going to get on a football player for being wired that way, right? I thought early on and really throughout, I thought Aaron Glenn was very animated. Really, for the first play was, I believe that was an 18-yard run by Breece Hall. And you could see AG, you know, just pumped up. And that's not a surprise either. He's going to be like that. So there was definitely some juice from Aaron Glenn, which the players feel, which is going to obviously portend good things for this team down the road. Now, the Jets' second corner, the Jets' third level, the Jets' right side of the offensive line, obviously just happened. So you're going to have to give them a chance to get going here. But without Vera Tucker, there was a big difference from what the left side was doing versus the right. I do think as the year goes on, you're going to see more from Mason Taylor. Ruckert had a couple of good grabs there. What else here? Oh, by the way, I mean, this is basic stuff, but if anybody was unclear. So the Jets opening drive, right? You get own 45. Wilson, 8 yards. Let's see. Hold on. This was, I got like five pages of notes here. This was their second possession. And this was after the Wilson 8 yard reception. Hall had a 3 yard run. Jets from their own 45. Hall 5 yard reception. Hall 4 yard run. And then first and 10. Then it set up the big 34 yard touchdown. And it was 9-7. Now the Jets missed the extra point. I don't think Folk looked awesome today. I mean, he is old, but he missed the extra point. But, of course, there was the penalty, which was on Pittsburgh, and now the Jets from the two. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You go for it. You go for it all day. So, I mean, I even think Robert Saleh goes for it. I guess what I'm saying, though, is I felt like every time the Jets had a chance to be aggressive, they showed an inclination to be aggressive, which to me is a nice starting point and not unexpected. So what I thought they would be. But the other thing, too, and this is just going to come with time here. Excuse me. It's going to come with time and repetition, and the game's going to slow down a little bit for Aaron Glenn. You got to have more timeouts in your back pocket. It changed the entire complexion of how the Jets were able to operate those final 30 seconds, whatever it was. You had one timeout, and one was just like I didn't really think that either that was used before that was incredibly urgent. I thought one was a little more excusable. The other one was just sloppy, either communication coming into the huddle, whatever it was. But you can't have that. You know, when you lose on a 60-yard field goal with, you know, inside of a minute and you've got one field goal, whether it's at home or on the road, you know, I don't care if you have Aaron Rodgers from 12 years ago, quarterback of the Jets. That's a lot to ask here. And, you know, who knows if Garrett holds on to that. That was a really good hit. Clean shoulder pad. Perfect timing. Sometimes you got to tip the cap and say, that's why Jalen Ramsey's been a really, really good player. But, you know, if he does hold on to that, you know, what happens? You get up there. you either spike it or you call the timeout, and you just at that point, though, there's no option to work the middle of the field. It's tricky, you know, and that's the situation that the Jets put themselves in. Some other notes that jump out. Again, this is all stuff that I'm just kind of looking over, really, because I came on right after the game. You know, first quarter, I wrote down three things. Run heavy, zero penalties, aggressive mindset. So those things really jumped out. I'm trying to see. Will McDonald looked really good. Really good. And stronger. Like, the knock on Will was more burst than push. He showed some weight room leverage that I don't know was there last year. And he was pretty good last year. Good to see Jermaine Johnson back. Good to see Ruckert involved a little bit. But here's the difference. I mean, Boswell, 60-yarder to win it. Boswell, you know, a 56-yarder to make it 10-9 Pittsburgh. He's just a stud. And that's all there is to it. What else here? Ruckert. Oh, that Ruckert one, the first one. It was 3rd and 4. And then the next play, if you recall, was the 34-yard swing pass to Breece Hall. But right before that, on 1st and 10. But right before, it was 3rd and 4. And Ruckert, that was a hell of a throw by Justin Fields. The proper shoulder, defense collapsing and anticipating. It was just a big league throw with zip and great purpose. So, you know, the thing about Justin is, and what I said really every podcast over the summer was that I thought, and they're going to run the hell out of the, excuse me, hell out of the ball this year. But because I knew they'd run well, I thought there'd be a chance for almost like gash plays more symbolic of the college game. Because, you know, you sell out, you stop the run, try to stop the run. And when you run it 35, 38, 40 times, I'm going to check the final numbers in a moment, as they did, now all of a sudden, you know, wow, look, single coverage. Oh, look, Garrett Wilson, wow, boom, wide open, basically 40 yards. And I do think you'll see that, whether it's Mason Taylor, whether it's Breece Hall, whether it's a go route with Braylon Allen. I think we saw that last year, week 2 in Tennessee with Rodgers to Allen. Was that Hall or Allen who called that? Either way, just to go the wheel route by the running back. So a lot of good stuff today. So a lot of good stuff, except the win. There was a delay of game here in the second quarter inside of 8 minutes. Jets were up by 6-11. And this stuff has to be cleaned up, and it will. Jets are up by 6, own 26. So they're inside of 8 minutes in the second quarter, as I said. And Wilson with an 11-yard reception. Johnson with a 14-yard reception, first down, and then boom, right after. So that's, guys, think about that. That's 25 yards, and now all of a sudden you're in midfield, and there's 5:06 to go in the second quarter. You're winning the game, and the first play after that, after those back-to-back first downs, there's a delay of game. And you just can't have it, you know? Now, by the way, it didn't really hurt them because then Fields had a 6-yard run, then Breece got 8, and then – well, I mean, it did hurt them a little bit. They could have scored a touchdown rather than a 51-yard field goal by Folk. And there you go. So that was a frustrating sequence there. But listen, it's not going to happen every day. It's not going to happen right away. It's just not. It's not going to happen. I know we wanted it today. It stings. There's no way around. It's popping up the final stats here. No way around it. I mean, listen, Justin Fields. If I told you this morning that Justin Fields would go 16 for 22 for 218 with a touchdown, no picks, only gets sacked once, the Jets would run the ball 39 times for a 182, almost 5 yards a carry, and the only turnover, let me make sure I'm not missing one here, was by Gibson on the kickoff, and he would not, as they said on the broadcast, he would not have been there if the more electric, dynamic kickoff returner, I'm forgetting his name right now, he hurt his hamstring, so he was out. So the Jets get a little bad luck there. But, you know, Justin Fields wiggled out of a couple of possible sacks. But what I do like about this, all right, is that you saw, and you did not see this year one from, man, I'm thinking about this, and as I'm optimistic and I'm positive about this, but God, it would have been so nice to be sitting here 1-0. With the Bills coming in. But anyway, the thing that I noticed with growth from Fields, because I don't watch him every snap when he was with the Steelers or with the Bears, but I know and they did touch this on the broadcast. I thought they could have gone a little deeper because I thought it was that much of a storyline. You are seeing tangible growth from Justin Fields. When he feels that thing collapsing and bodies moving, he's not just tucking it and running with purpose. Like, again, his spatial awareness is, he's just an incredible athlete, my God. But his ability to decipher when it's time to bounce and like that extra second to kind of look downfield, he's looking downfield to make plays when he's scrambling. Like, his first instinct is not, what do? Let me run. Like a lot of running quarterbacks. I think, and I always thought this, because the last podcast I did, I pointed to the fact that the last 4 years, which are the only 4 years he's been in the NFL, there's been growth, literally positive growth each year in completion percentage. Now, not this incredible jump, but enough where it's palpable. I'm like, okay, I notice it. He's up to about 64, 65%. And I think, and now it's right around there today too. But part of the reason why I think that's the case is because he's gotten better seeing downfield. Now, when he was on the Bears, they sucked. We didn't watch him unless you had them in a parlay or fantasy or the other team. We saw him at Ohio State every game. I know I did, just about. And then last year with the Steelers, he played and then he was benched. So I do think that his development is going to be exciting to watch this year. There's something there. He seems to exude easy leadership. He's not like skittish at all. He's not overly demonstrative. Like if somebody runs the wrong route, there was one situation where he kind of went, I think it was Wilson. He's like, oh. Like you could tell he's into it, but not where he's embarrassing teammates. And he's also not too quiet. Like, I don't know, Daniel Jones, who actually played very well today, but from a Giant perspective, watching him his entire career, we wanted more out of him. It seems to be that the game's slowing down for Justin, and he knows who he is. The Jets kind of know how they want to utilize him, and it's a tough loss. There is no doubt about it. But, you know, oh, man, I'm going to look at some of these comments. Let me see. All right. What's up, guys? What is up, guys? What is up, guys? All right. Yeah, this Danny O'Keefe, Fire AG. Brilliant. Gibson fumbled, killed us, no question. Corey, yeah, haven't been pissed off about a Jets loss this pissed in a long time. Well, I mean, that's part of the problem when you feel like winning, you can win and you play well and you do so many good things. It just stings more. Okay. I like this one because this is what I'm saying. This is from Trade Travel Thrive. Short and sweet. We have the beginning of a real team here. I agree. You know, that's what you're looking for. Let's see. Here's the blame in order of severity. Okay. This is from Providence Guild. Going for two twice. I disagree. I think you had to. Gibson fumble. That's number one. I mean, that wasn't even a hard fucking hit. That was just a hand going in there. That one was unacceptable. Gibson, without a doubt, is number one. I don't know if I agree with this, Providence. Let's see. Garrett Wilson not knowing he was going to get hit. Well, I mean, I would respectfully push back and say you can know you're about to get hit, but the timing is still so perfect as you're waiting for the football the moment it touches flesh. I mean, that was a vicious pop, man. I am not getting on Garrett Wilson. Not for that. Nope. Others are saying kick the two PATs, but why would you see to me that's, and I know it's easier to say that now, but were you thinking that in real time? And if you were, I respect that. And I believe you, if you tell me that you were thinking that in real time, like after the penalty, just kick it. You're at the 2 yard line, man. We talked all summer. The identity from minute one is going to be, we're running the ball down your throat. You know, we're going to run, but we don't think you'll be able to stop us. How much of a wuss move would it be? And a contradiction of what the Jets are trying to become with Glenn, if they would have gone for a little chippy extra point. No, I disagree. No way. I didn't think that once. Matter of fact, when I saw them coming out, as I knew that they would, I'm like, all right, here we go. All right, we got a man in the building here. AG ain't playing. What else we got here? Yeah, and you just knew Boswell was going to hit that. Yeah, gin and boost, sipping on gin and boost. Now, I said to my son, who was 10, knows enough of the history of the Jets in his young life, God bless him, that things generally don't go too well for us here in a Jet household, right? But Daddy, and hence the whole unkillable thing here, because no matter what, we're going to keep getting off the mat. Not if you're new, that's what it means. That's the essence of the podcast. I guess I should reset this very quickly. When Rodgers got hurt, four plays in, first show, me and Sal, I open up with this to the point I can't even watch it. Like, it was just sheer lunacy. I don't even know what I was saying. And I don't know how I didn't curse. That's the amazing thing about the unkillable speech. I don't know how I didn't curse. I really don't. But unkillable means, no, not that you're not going to beat the Jets. If anything, it's playing on the irony. But it's no matter what you do to try to kill us, we love this team so much, and we are so resilient and calloused by all the hard losses that you ain't going to kill us, hence unkillable, right? So I try to preach positivity with my son rather than, oh, here we go. We're going to lose. Oh, he's going to hit this. But when he asked me, he says, Dad, this guy's good, right? I said, yeah, he's good, bud. You should have seen the exchange. He said, he's going to hit it. I said, nah, I don't think he's going to miss this. And bang, he hit it. And it was from 60. And when they showed did they go to commercial or did they just show the replay? Either way, that thing would have maybe been good from 70. Like, that had incredible depth on it. So, I mean, Boswell's amazing. He really is. Boswell's, he's a star. So we know that's not a surprise. What else? Gibson and Stevens suck. That's not fair, man. I mean, I know Gibson's got to hold on to that ball, but come on. Come on. MD, yeah, I hear it. Some of this is pretty basic stuff. I just want to give you guys some love here as we're going through this. No receivers. Yeah. I don't know why Alan Lazard was not active, that, and he was not hurt. That was a game time decision, placing him on the inactive sheet there, which is a little bit interesting to me because he's a very good blocker, Alan Lazard. I mean, he blocks better than he catches. He can't catch for shit. Stone hands. The one thing he can do is block. And you would think in the running game that would be very valuable. But they didn't want that. Wilson isn't a number one. What? I'm not even going to give any love to that. Stop. Let's see. Best game of the 1 p.m. games. It may be the best game of the day. Thought the defense would be better and the offense was the challenge. Yeah. I mean, if you told me the Jets would have lost 34-32, I would have said that's probably not the script that I anticipated either. I would agree. I don't know that I would have had the Jets for 32 points unless they had like a pick six or a fumble in a short field or a block punt or a kickoff to the house, which it didn't. They moved the ball. They moved the ball very well. I'd rather have this than get embarrassed by with Zach Wilson, trade, travel, thrive. Yeah, I agree. Not to start, you know, this and poor Zach. It didn't work out, but I'm with you. AFC least in the Bills. Yep, you're right. Miami looked like absolute dog shit today. My God. Oh, Miami lost. Boo-hoo. Let's see. The Bills are the class. We know that. Yeah, listen, I don't get this. So CAC tweeted this or messaged me this as well. Entirely on Aaron Glenn, rookie head coach going for two and he didn't need to. Why do you not understand that? Like, I don't, what don't you see about going for the two? Now, I don't know if you're talking about the first one or the second one, but the first one's a given. And the second one I thought was also a given. I just didn't like the play that they called. I didn't like that. You know, to me, Tanner Engstrand's got to be a little bit better there. Just a little fade, throw it up, back of the end zone, right side. Garrett Wilson's not 6'5". He's not Megatron. He's not that big body. That's the wrong play. But it's not the wrong decision, I don't think. Let's see. Oh, here we go. All right, this would be fun. Hey, Piggy. Rodgers, cook your sorry-ass franchise. This is what happens when you go from the literal worst dumpster fire franchise to the greatest organization in NFL history, Saleh to Tomlin. Well, I mean, Piggy, I'm certainly not here to disrespect the Steelers. I've got great respect for Pittsburgh. I love Mike Tomlin. I'm more of an Aaron Rodgers fan than not, you know, obviously not today. But I got news for you, buddy. You're not the greatest organization in NFL history. That would be the Patriots. Did you miss this entire century with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? Did you miss that? I mean, you want to tell me Steelers are two all time, three, Dallas, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. Right now, I don't even give a shit to come up with a pecking order of who. All I know is Pats are one. I'll let you guys battle that one out. What else here? Considering everybody else in the national media was calling for us to get blown out, not bad. That's from Kyle Beck. I actually bet the Jets, and I was a little worried because I bet the Jets earlier in the week, and I thought I made a rookie mistake, even though I'm obviously not a rookie wagerer. I got him at 2.5, and I even said to Sal like 2 days. I'm like, the next day, I'm like, you know what? That line's going to move. You're going to get some late Steeler money. You're not going to get late Jet money against the Steelers. You're going to get late Steeler money. That thing's going to go to 3. I could have gotten the Jets at +3. Instead, I got him at +2.5. Now, I won the bet, but, you know, if I'm sloppy like that over the course of the year, I will be losing more than I will winning. Rodgers looked better than he ever did as a Jet. Well, of course. I mean, look at the shit. Look at the stuff that Aaron Rodgers had to deal with last year. I mean, come on. That's a no-brainer. Glenn got that Campbell stank on him. Doesn't know when to take the easy play. Come on. That's not cool. Hey, I will take a guy with balls and conviction, all right, and a belief in his team, even if it's not full conviction. And how could it be? He just got there and they haven't changed anything fully yet, clearly. But that's how you start to change. That's how you start to change. And like the expectation has to become, because maybe Aaron said, hey, anytime it's like 4th and 1 and we're past our own 40, whatever. I'm just saying, we're going for it. So maybe the team knew, right? But you've got to know the great teams, the well-oiled teams, the teams that keep moving the sticks and punctuate drives with 7 rather than 3. Those teams, when the measurement comes and they know they're short, they don't even look at the sideline because they already know what they're doing, what the plan, not just from a schematical perspective, but from a mentality perspective. Oh, we know we're going for it. Let's go. Whereas, you know, the Jets are probably still a little bit in that stage of, are we going for it? Like still kind of transitioning to that mindset. And that's why I disagree. And again, I respect your opinion. It's easy to say that when you go 0-for-2 on 2-point conversions and you lose by 2. I'm not saying that what you're saying is completely like mathematically illogical, but what I'm saying is from a culture perspective, because we talk about culture a lot this offseason, and it is a very hard thing to identify. It's a very nebulous term. You know, think about where we are in the world of analytics. Everything is buttoned up and backed up by math, right? And that's the easy stuff, even in baseball, whether it's a barrel rate or a whiff rate. You want a number, you want to quantify something, go to Baseball Savant. You'll get the exact percentage of where players rank in a multitude of statistical columns, all right? And when I talk about culture, there's no, you go CBSSports.com, ESPN.com, any other app that you, NFL.com. There's nothing in the box score that says culture. Culture is you just know when it's there and you know when it's not. And the Jets have not had a speck of culture since, like, real culture, not bullshit culture, you know, manufactured culture since the apex of the Rex Ryan era. They had no culture with Saleh, who was soft. Adam Gase was a clueless clown. You know what? I can maybe give at least early, like, a tick to Todd Bowles, that 10-win season with Fitz and Marshall and Decker. The beginning of a culture, but that was undone very fast. Then you got to go back to Rex again, the height of the Rex Ryan era. And you do that today so that next week against the Bills or week 3 against Tampa or down the road, hey, we know what we're doing. This is going to be New York Jets football like it was with Mangold and DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Kevin Mawai and Fanica and Damian Woody. Like, that's what this is about. And you have to understand it. And I know you do. You just pissed off because they should have won the freaking game. I guess I've got a limit on F-bombs. I always said I'm not just going to throw F-bombs out there gratuitously just to, you know, sound like that guy. But when I'm watching a game, not in front of my son, but when I'm watching a game, I curse. When I'm out there with my buddies, when I'm playing golf, if I fire one in the woods, I curse. So why the hell wouldn't I be me when I fire up the podcast? I'm going to be me. All right. My Patriots are at the bottom of the division again. No disrespect. Don't care about your Patriots, although you do have the right coach. Vrabel's going to be great. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Breece Hall looked great today. He did. You know, the thing about Breece, that straightaway speed, and I've said this a few times, where, and I'm not alone. Like, I'm talking about, I've had conversations with people who study snap by snap and formation by formation. The knock on Breece was never the straightaway speed, although I think it took a little bit to get back after the injury that he got hurt when he got hurt in Denver. The knock, if you really get into the weeds of the NFL, is maybe not the best vision. Maybe a little slow to recognize a little hole or a seam and put his foot and go. Well, I thought I saw a very good vision from Breece Hall today. Breece Hall looked really, really, really good. Let's see. All right. I mean, I don't agree with this. Wilson dropped the corner. Oh, the corner pass. Are you talking about the two-pointer? Okay. No, I know. Okay. No, it's hard to read this in real time because it's not always grammatically readable, whatever. I get it. You guys are pecking away fast. I hear you. Final hit by Ramsey. Ramsey was monstrous, but that one was also in his hands. I said that. Not where I see this. I don't think this is fair. Not what we're looking for from a giant contract. It's unfair. It's unfair. It really is. I'm not down with that. Look, Garrett Wilson played very well. Yeah, you have to get somebody else opposite. You have to. I mean, I don't know. Jets looked incredible today. Easily a 7-10 win season. I might stop short of incredible because they did get a little sloppy with the penalties. Where was the one that I had circled? Hold on. It was It was Quincy Williams, who I love. Quincy's a dog, man. And the Jets do have some dogs. They got some pits. They got some rots, you know. And that's what Aaron Glenn's got to phase out the poodles. You got to get rid of them. Eventually, that's what happens. Attrition. Hey, you're not a dog, you're out. You know, but you can't get 53 new guys. Not that you would want to, because they did have some talent coming in. Aaron Glenn did not inherit a team without an ounce of talent. I mean, there was a reason why a lot of us thought that if Rodgers played well last year or the year before, the Jets could mess around and do something, you know? So it's 26. See, this did bother me, and this is just stupid, and I'll tell you why. The Jets are up 26-17, third quarter, 3:45 to go. And Pittsburgh gets the ball back, and then Quincy, the first play after the touchdown on the far sideline, late hit, 15-yard penalty, obviously, and it wasn't even close. Like, listen, there are certain things that are a little tricky, like the holding, like, all right, do you turn just a little bit? Like, some of these are subjective. It's hard. But that one, to me, was simple. In the year 2025, when you got both of your turf shoes on white, on the out-of-bounds boundary, there is no doubt that that flag is coming out, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. So who knows? If that doesn't happen and the Jets get a stop, even if it's only a field goal, they absolutely win the game. So they go up 26-17. Then the Steelers score eventually on that drive. Then they scored again. And they scored about 14 points in 55 seconds. So that was an absolute crusher. Yeah, I mean, think about this sequence, guys. Williams late hit. And then the Gibson fumble. After the Steelers cut it with 14:57 to go in the fourth quarter, Jets up by two, 26-24, fumble, Pittsburgh at the Jets 22, second play, touchdown. Wide open, Rodgers rolled out. That's like taking candy from a baby there. I mean, listen, Rodgers looked pretty good. Got popped a few times. He looked pretty good. It looked like the way I thought he looked last year. If they had a competent staff. Mad about the loss and the mistakes, but come on, this team impressed today. I agree. Oh, did Atlanta? They shanked a game-tying field goal with 6 seconds. Oh, Sal's going to be happy. I didn't see that yet. I'll catch up on the other stuff after. God, the Giants didn't show much today, huh? Giants did not show much. Let me just take a look at the scores here again, because it's crazy. Game ends. I got to run up because I watch it in the basement. I've got a TV in my office, but watch it in the basement. And then I run up. I got to hook up the lights and, you know, get everything rolling here. Let's see. All right. Yeah, I didn't think the Giants scored. Jeez, 21-6. Come on, man. See, that's bad in the respect that, 17 for 37. Yo, I mean, we're going to be talking about Jackson Dart this week. It's unavoidable. You don't score a touchdown. You are... You average 4.5 yards a pass. Ugh. I've got to go and watch the Giants game and take notes for tomorrow for the radio, but this is the Jets pod. Let's see. Jaguars. That game's not over yet. Wow. All right. Titans, Broncos early, whatever. Second already, 3-3. Niners, Seattle. Is McCaffrey playing? Did he play? He was. Yeah, McCaffrey's out there. Four attempts, 6 yards. Hasn't done much yet. You got the Packers 10-0 on the Lions. That's a little bit of a surprise. Lions lost two offensive linemen, by the way. The Bucks, yeah, 23-20. So that game went under, which I had. The Bengals beat the Browns. I had Browns plus 5.5, so they covered that. I did lose the over in the Colts Dolphins. How about the Dolphins? 33-8. So think about, and again, everything that I said that is shrouded in positivity about Aaron Glenn, about the offensive line, about the quarterback, about the tenacity, about the mindset, understanding the Jets obviously made mistakes today, clearly. Maybe too aggressive with certain things in play calling, but I prefer that rather than being a wuss. Like, you gotta become big boys, and I think that's how you accelerate the process. But imagine we're sitting here, and the Jets are 1-0, and the Dolphins are 0-1, and the Patriots, I mean, eventually Pats will be good. They're not going to be good this year. But just still, Patriots 0-1. And the Bills playing the Ravens tonight. I mean, you know, I'm not saying the Bills can't win because the Bills are terrific. If the Ravens win, I wouldn't be the. As a matter of fact, I might bet the Ravens. I might. I think are the Ravens favored? Yeah. Wow. Ravens are minus 1.5. I'm going to investigate that a little bit later, see if I can maybe jump on that. But Bills can conceivably 0-1. The Jets could have been the only fucking team in the division with one win. This is what I mean. This is the stuff that really. Really does test your mettle, doesn't it though? It does. And I'm a positive guy with this team. How, I have no freaking idea, but I am. I just believe in Aaron Glenn. Inherently, there's something in that man. He was a dog as a player. He's a Parcells guy. He commands a room. He commands a sideline. He commands the press conference. That man is not here to fail. That man is not here to lose. And, you know, it's a Herculean task. I mean, AG's got to turn around the most futile run in North American team sports right now. No team in North America has had a longer playoff drought than our Jets. Yeah, I mean, it's not like Joe Torre coming in 96 after Buck Showalter took the Yankees to the wild card in 95 and lost in 5 games to Seattle. It's the exact opposite. It's been a shit show, you know? Loser upon loser, selfish players. I disagree. Bottom line, you don't go for two in the first quarter, no matter how close. Disagree. No way. Man, you guys got to change your mentality a little bit. Thank God my coach is changing his. You guys got to look in the mirror and toughen up a little bit. All you wimps. I'm kind of kidding with you, but not really. All you wimps. Oh, don't go for two. Oh, no, don't. Too far away, 2 yards. The hell out of here. Go for the 2 yards, man. Say that every time. Say that every time. Yeah, the Jets have a problem at cornerback opposite Sauce. Steven sucks. I'm just not a believer in him. I'm not. Yeah. Rod, this is interesting, and this is undeniable. I did say this on the Fan the other day. Rodgers' opening records are abysmal. Yeah, he's not played well week one for a while, whether it's wins or touchdown to pick ratio. But, of course, the Jets, always the cure for what ails you. Yeah, I know. All right, you can have fun with that. I know why you say that. I don't fall into that trap. But I'm not saying you're wrong. Let's see. Different coach. Doesn't matter. This organization's inept. I think that's incredibly unfair. Do me a favor. All you guys watching right now, because I'm going to look at this later as well. Just shoot me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Like, I love the commentary as well. Just start firing away right now. If you like the aggressiveness, if you liked for the most part the way the Jets look today, what you saw from Aaron Glenn, what you saw from the OC, what you saw from the O-line, what you saw from the D-line getting into Rodgers a couple times, three sacks. I got to double check. I think it was three. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure Will had two, Q had one. Why was Q on the bench for a fairly important stretch of the game? I'm like, dude, get on the field, man. Like, if your helmet's off, that's one thing. God forbid you have a concussion or you're in the tent. You just stand there. Get the fuck on the field. So just shoot me a thumbs up. Loss aside, if you were feeling what the Jets were doing today, like if you walk away as positively as you can after a loss, or if you didn't like what you saw, just shoot, you know, same old Jets. If you want to lean into that and go ahead and be my guest, just hit me with a thumbs down. All right. Any other specific questions? I'm seeing a lot of comments here. Any specific questions? Let's see. Yeah, Stevens gives up big plays. He does. He slipped as well. He fell. Let's see. You have to specify that it can't happen. Still ball control. Bleeper return. Operation secure the effing ball. Yep, I agree. Jets defense never takes the ball away. Well, that's something that's got to change. Yeah. I mean, Sauce is good. I think he's worth the contract. His first year, he was great. His second year, he was good. His third year, I was very disappointed in Sauce last year. I think he kind of checked out a little bit. I think he was hurt a little bit. I think there were a couple of different things that led to him having his worst year as a pro. I had no problem him getting paid, though. I think he's a foxhole trench guy, but you got to make some plays. Even that was his second year because Rodgers was out, and I was in Dallas for this game with Zach Wilson. Jets didn't play well, but if you remember, Sack had a chance to intercept Dak, and it was like, was that the Jets sideline or Dallas? I think it may have been Dallas's. Either way, he had it right in the flats. And if he gets it, he's housing it. And he just dropped it, straight dropped it. Yeah, you're right. Jets got to put more balls on the turf. There's no doubt about that. Stevens had an easy pick. Well, I don't know if that's easy. Ricardo wrote, Stevens had an easy INT go right through his hand. Now, he got burned a few times. The one that you're talking about, now, it's up to him to keep his footing, although the turf sucks. We know that. But he fell. And when you're falling, and I know that we can make it seem easy on a podcast or you guys watching the podcast, when you fall and there is a football, like you're not just lobbing it like this, like you're in the street, like he's 5 years old. But that ball's got a little zip on it, all right? And when you're falling and trying to, that's a tough play. Again, stay on your feet, but I do not think that that was an easy play. So when you say an easy pick, that's not an easy pick. 1-7 by Halloween. Oh, God. Justin Fields looked good. He did. I wish they used the fullback as a lead blocker a little bit. You know, it's funny you say that because Beck had a nice play in the Packers game, the first preseason game. I saw him throw a couple of blocks. I thought we may have seen maybe like a fullback wheel route or even him getting open down the seam. I like Beck. I think he's going to be pretty good for them. They did not use him the way I thought that they would. All right. And that'll change a little bit. Let's see. The fumble lost the game. Talking about the Gibson. Yes, no doubt. Well, listen, back to back. So the fumble lost the game big time, and then the fumble changed momentum. It did, but the Jets still responded. Because think about this, guys. So when they give up the two touchdowns within 50 seconds and Pittsburgh takes a 31-26 lead, it's early. There's still a lot of time here. But the Jets scored a touchdown. So even that's what I mean when you dig deeper into the weeds and the different components of what ultimately I'm looking for that could define this team and elevate this team and why I believe Aaron Glenn's eventually going to do it. Like, there's no way Saleh's team is coming back late or Gase's team. All right, fold up the tent. We're done. We're cooked. Jets scored a touchdown. And they did it the way they wanted to do it. They went right back to it. Whole 12-yard run, hole for four. Reynolds 12-yard reception, Breeze first down touchdown, first down run, Mason Taylor 15-yard reception, Fields for five, Hole for four, Fields a first down, you know, 15-yard penalty, quarterback sneak. Like that was a pretty strong chin by the Jets there. I'm sorry, but I just keep knocking this thing around. What else? See if there's anything else that jumps out to me before I start wrapping up. How does Sauce stink? Hater? I don't even know what that's not even English. Guys, I got to understand what you're asking me here. You know, I will read the stuff, but I mean, you know, I understand we get fat fingers, whatever. You hit the wrong button, but he's got to at least send the sentence. Jets bullied the Steelers defense today. I agree with that. I think that's a very good observation. Ricardo, again, I agree. I do agree. And it was prevalent and it was apparent from the opening snap. Just watched it. This is from Jay Spector. Just watched the Jets team who can beat anybody. Two missed extra points and a kickoff fumble cost this game. Blame this loss on special teams. All right. If Sauce is the best player on D, then explain why they give up 34 points to Grandpa Rodgers. Well, because Stevenson sucks. Didn't we just establish that? The guy playing opposite Sauce Gardner. You know? They are trash. What? You guys. There's no way I'm leaning into that. And trust me, go back and look at some of these instant reaction videos from last year. I got no problem, you know, leaning into when things are going wrong. You know, your boy's going to tell you. I don't know how, outside of, again, a stinging loss, but I really don't know how, unless you are incapable of thinking logically and pragmatically and incapable of eventually, and here we are 50 minutes after the loss, whatever it is, my emotions are obviously coming down. If you can't separate the disappointment in the loss, and at least as the day and the night grow, as it gets deeper, begin to gain a little clarity as to what I think was in totality a pretty good, inspiring, and fairly galvanizing performance by the Jets game one of the Aaron Glenn era, well, then we just saw a different football game. And I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong. I'm just here to tell you that you're not right for me. So I guess that's the nice way of saying I think that you're wrong. Oh, man. I told my wife, I said, I've got my in-laws here from Dallas. So I've got my mother and father-in-law. I've got my sister-in-law and her son. Obviously, my wife and two kids. So I've got a lot of people here. And I told her, I said, get everybody out. Get it. Once, with like 3 minutes to go in the game, except my son, then he got in the car. Everybody's got to get out. Because daddy cannot start a podcast with the inability to at least drop an F-bomb, which is going to make me feel better. And it did. As sad as that is, right? As petty and as pathetic as that is. Although maybe when I see it, I'll be a little frightened by it. Because there's F-bombs and then there's like really aggressive ones. That first one was very aggressive, but it's also week one. They lost about a 60-yard field goal and I was feeling it. But I said, I can't have my kids and my in-laws hearing that. Like, so just go get ice cream, go do something. And that's it. So week one is in the books here. Week one is in the books from a Jet perspective. Of course, I am on, I got to go watch the Giant game. I am on from 10 to 2 tomorrow. I'm sure we'll get a bunch of calls and a bit of a mixed bag here from a Jet perspective. But I leave you with, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, like 10 being the most positive, 1 being inconsolably Salah-ish or Gase-ish, or Kotite-ish, really, to be much more accurate. I would say right now, all-encompassing, I know that other corner is going to be a problem all year. I know it. I'd say I'm a good 8. And I was even going to say 8.5, but there was just a couple of dumb penalties that crept in and some sloppiness with the kickoff return and a couple of things that they weren't there. Even if they would have, like if Quincy doesn't make that 15-yard out of bounds hit and Gibson doesn't fumble that punt, the kickoff, and they still lose, I think I'm sitting here saying it's a 9.5. That's how many good things I took away from it. But time to go. All right, I got to dig in, do some more week one work. I appreciate you guys. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram as well. If you have Jet friends and Jet fans around the country, let them know about the Unkillable Pod. Apple, Spotify, spread the word. And I appreciate you guys. So tough one, but if there's anybody who is resilient, it is us. Because if there's one thing we are good at, is having to condition ourselves to get off the mat after a massive kick in the nuts. And that's what it is. But I got to listen, no kick there is good. I think this is a little less painful because I really do feel like earliest read you could possibly have, Aaron Glenn is going to get this right. I don't know when. I don't know exactly. I kind of know how because I know I was going to try to do it. But it's going to happen. You know, one more thing. I don't know if it would have made a difference. Probably not. And I'm not here to judge. I already did that on the last podcast. Imagine instead of 40,000 Jet fans there today, there was 80,000 people going nuts, you know, like all the other real teams in the NFL. Like when the Bills play at home, everybody's a Bill fan. All right, Jets play the Bills up there. You might get the 200 Jet fans, whatever. But you just know you play at the Ravens Stadium, the old Ravens. You know, you play the Niners, Niner fans show up. I get it. You get a chance to make a few bucks. It's the Steelers. All right, fine. So, again, there's no real judgment. I already did that. This is more about
would it have made a difference just in the game if you had an even more boisterous crowd? You know, I think it was, the number was 46,000 Steeler tickets, or tickets got in the hands of Steeler fans. That means there's 46,000 people who could have been cheering for us on 3rd and 7, whatever it may have been, maybe get them jump offside. And, you know, it's just really not a good home field advantage. And the Jet fans who were there are amazing. But don't think I didn't think about that, hearing those, you know, seeing the towels and hearing the Steeler fans basically take over the joint. All right, catch you tomorrow on The Fan. Have an awesome rest of your Sunday, and I will see you during the week, either Tuesday or Wednesday, to piece it together, get ready for Buffalo, and push this thing in the right direction. Appreciate you guys. I'll see you soon.